before we consider God's word together, let us pray that it will be so. Our loving Heavenly Father, you are good, so good, that you give us grace pressed down, running over, shaken together and put into our hearts. Please, Lord, grant that grace to us tonight as we listen to the scriptures. You promise, Lord, your Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts, to heal us when we are broken, to give us hope when we are dismayed, and to give us faith and life in the Lord Jesus. Please, Holy Spirit, come and live in us this night, we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to continue tonight in our study through Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And we've come tonight to chapter 9 and verse 6. So please let me encourage you to turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and from verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. By their prayer for you, who long for you, because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The great thought I want to point you to tonight is the transforming power of the gospel. The power of the gospel to change everything for the better. The power of the gospel to change hearts. The good news of who our Lord Jesus is and of what he's done, how he has died for us to save us from God's judgment, and that he is alive, a very present help, a very real saviour to help us. And so he gives his Holy Spirit to us to change our hearts. As we saw earlier on in this letter, it says, beholding the glory of the Lord, that's seeing how good Jesus is, we are being transformed into the same image. That's our lives being changed. From glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. That's the big thing I want you to be encouraged with. That the Lord Jesus can change our lives from darkness to light, death to life, fear to hope, and from selfishness to love. You see, tonight we're looking at this final part of 2 Corinthians that's about giving. And the big thing I want you to hear is that the gospel even transforms our giving, our charitable giving to others. It deepens it, it enriches it, all our giving to others. And the gospel transforms it into a joy, into a privilege. So it's not a burden, it's not a duty. It transforms our giving into gracious giving. Gracious giving. That's what I want to try and show you from this passage. Many people give generously to various charities and give their time, and we should thank God for all that good that's done. But there is a great difference in the Christian giving that Paul is speaking about in this passage. Because it's transformed, it's something even higher and better because it is gracious giving. Let me remind you what this bit of the letter is about. The Apostle Paul is writing to these Christians in the Greek city of Corinth, and he's urging them to complete this collection that they're going to send to the suffering church across in Jerusalem. The Christians there were suffering from persecution and from famine. And so Paul has had this great vision of this great Catholic collection. So he's going around all the non-Jewish churches, taking up money to give to them. So it's more than just helping them out. It's this demonstration in the ancient world that Christians are different. There was so much hatred, so much racism, so much division. And he's showing that now in Christ, there's a new way. And there's a new people. And there's a new family that is across all the world, united in the love of Christ. And one way of showing that is going to be this great offering that he's taken up. But as I hope you've heard over the last few weeks, the key thing Paul keeps saying to us is that this offering is a grace. It's a grace. How many times have we heard that word? It's an act of grace. It's a gift of grace. It's a work of grace. And grace is again the key word in these verses. Verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound. Verse 14, the exceeding grace of God. So this collection is a grace. Grace meaning undeserved gift. Something that is given freely from love. There's no ulterior motive. Grace meaning it's from God. It's empowered by God. And grace meaning it results in praise to God. And you remember we saw that great grace should inspire great giving. Remember, he says in verse 10, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, he became poor for your sakes, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. He's saying, if God has been so gracious to us, that he even gave his son to die for us, so we might have the riches of heaven, how can we not then want to give to others with that same heart? That great grace should change our hearts. So you've got grace leading to gratitude to God that overwhelms us. We're overwhelmed by how much he's loved us. And that gratitude then leads to generosity. That's how the gospel changes our giving into gracious giving. So in this section, verses 6 to 15, you've got the conclusion of this big appeal. You see the big vision of it now. And again, Paul is trying to persuade these Christians to give generously. And really, if you could put a title to this section, you could say, great giving will produce great results. Rather, we don't mean that in some material sense, but that great giving, great gracious giving will produce spiritual and everlasting benefits and results. And so he describes all the good things that will come from this offering. God will surely bless them for it and will continue to give to them so that they can continue giving to others. It will produce thanksgiving to God, praise. It will produce unity and love amongst all these different Christians in different countries. So you see the driving thought, gracious giving will produce great results.
Now, isn't that an encouragement? If we seek to give graciously to others as God commands us, and especially to Christians in need, what a wonderful thing. It's not like just giving to a charity, which is good, and you might provide water for somebody for a day, and you might produce food for somebody who's hungry, which is good and right. But when it's gracious giving, when it's this work of God through you, there's an even greater everlasting benefit of these spiritual benefits. But again, I hope you heard how Paul asked for money. It wasn't like some of the charity commercials that we're inundated with now, or the mailings you get constantly, which honestly can appeal to your guilt or some kind of sense of duty. Paul wants far more than that. There's something he wants a lot more than their money. He wants their hearts. He wants their hearts to be changed by this grace, so that they are wanting to give, so that they understand this spiritual dimension to it, that it's going to flow out of a relationship with God and therefore be richer and more wonderful. He wants their hearts to be captured by God's grace, and so they'll be filled with joy as they give. He wants their hearts. So let me try to highlight to you three marks of gracious giving. Three ways that this Christian giving is different because it's changed by knowing Christ. Three key words that stand out. Joy, faith, and glory. Gracious giving is done with heartfelt joy. Gracious giving is done in bold faith. And gracious giving is done for God's glory. So if we look first at verses 6 and 7, I want to say to you that gracious giving, how Christian giving is different, is it is done with heartfelt joy. You see, if you look at those verses, Paul is just reflecting on the reality that some people will give more generously than others. Some will give bountifully, some will give sparingly. But actually, he's making a bit of a different point here than you might think. What he's really getting at is that what really matters most is how and why someone gives, not how much. You might be misled by this and think he's saying it's better for those who are rich and can give more. That's really not what he's saying. What he's really saying here is what really matters is how and why. That gracious giving must come from the heart. It's got to be done with gladness, not grudgingly. With joy, not jealously. Given freely and not because pressured. And that's what's pleasing to God. What makes something good in God's eyes is not the amount, but the motive, the purity of heart. You see, that verse 6, more literally in the Greek, it says, whoever sows with blessing will reap blessing. That word bountifully is actually a word that means in a blessing kind of way. It doesn't really translate into English. It's not about the amount. It's about the way in which you do it. You do it in a blessing kind of way. It means you're doing it to bless somebody, to freely give to somebody. It's all about the motive. So he's saying again the same thing in verse 7. God loves a cheerful giver. Someone who gives graciously, to bless, freely, gladly. Not by compulsion and not in a reciprocal way. That's what really matters. You see, what's helpful here is if you can try and put yourself in the shoes of these Christians from long ago and understand the Corinthian world. It was a quid pro quo world. Their whole way of life, their economy, depended on a system of deals and gifts and patronage. That's how all financial things happen. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And that would have been so ingrained into these Corinthians. Because remember, there were no banks, there's no credit cards. The way everything worked is society revolved around a few wealthy patrons. Some men who would have money and status. So if you needed a loan, you'd go to them. You'd become one of their clients. If you fell on hard times, you'd become one of their dependents. And that meant you'd be under obligation to them. So for example, say you're a farmer and you need money to buy a new field. you'd go to your patron for the money up front. But it would be given as a gift to you. That's the words that would be used. But there'd be strings attached. That you would gift back to them. You were under obligation that the first third of your crops for the next 10 years had to go to him. Isn't that still how the world works? Scratch my back, you scratch mine. So do you see what a radically different thing the gospel was for them and for us? Paul's saying it's all about giving freely and graciously. Not getting anything in return. This isn't about doing deals. Not for quid pro quo, but freely. Because that's how God gives. Graciously. So in God's eyes, the person who's only got a little to give, but they do it from a heart of love. Oh, that pleases God. Far more than the wealthy who might give more in financial terms, but if their heart is not in it. Remember that incident with the widow's offering at the temple. And all the rich gave from their extra, but the widow who gave her all just the pennies. And the Lord praises her. They gave grudgingly. She gave graciously. And I'm emphasizing this first point to you because if you really get this, it's going to transform how you think about giving. With all biblical religion, it is the heart that matters to God. The charity that comes from a loving heart that is transformed by grace. What does that famous passage in 1 Corinthians say to us? If I give all my goods to the poor, but have not love, I profit nothing. The love of God and neighbor in your heart, by the work of God's Spirit in you, that's what matters. Did not the Lord say, I desire mercy and not sacrifice? Love, not just the outward deed. That's why the Lord criticized the Pharisees, because they did the outward act, but their hearts were not right. So that's the first way. You are challenged to be radically different. This is why you need Christ, and you cannot do it without him and without his Spirit in your heart. This is gracious giving. The inside of your heart must be cleansed. That's the gift of grace God will give you. And it will transform your giving to be heartfelt and freely done. So where is your heart when you give? Where is your heart when you give? But the second way you see that Christian gracious giving is meant to be different is it's to be done in bold faith. Look with me at verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. What is that saying? It's a wonderful verse. You can give graciously because you can trust God is generous. You can trust God is generous. To live a lifestyle of gracious giving that we've been looking at these weeks is an act of faith. It's the only way you can really do it. You've got to act in faith, trusting God. Because a gracious giver relies on God that God will be generous. A gracious giver trusts that God is going to give you the resources and strength to give, and he'll continue to give as you give to others. Verse 8 really means you cannot outgive God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? God can richly provide if you sacrificially give to others. When you're running on empty and you've got nothing else left to give, you can come to God and God says he'll fill you again with all grace to abound. You pour out your cup, the Lord will fill it again. All grace, all sufficiency, all times. The Lord is generous to those who draw near to him. Those three alls. And put that the emphasis in that verse on the words, he is able. He is able. There is no lack in God to be able to meet your every need, spiritually or emotionally or financially. Owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Trust him in his generosity. And that is maybe the key to be a gracious Christian giver. When you're deciding how and what to give, don't just look at your bank balance. Don't just look at your time and energy, look to the promises of God. Look to the generosity of God and then give in faith. Give in a way that stretches you because you're going to ask God to give back to you. Perhaps we don't give generously enough because we really just don't have the faith to trust that God will uphold us and help us. I'm sure most of you know the amazing true story of George Muller and his orphanage. That wonderful Victorian man of God who he and his wife believed they were called to care for orphaned children. So he and his wife just opened their home and gathered in 30 orphans beginning in the year 1836. And throughout, he maintained a strict policy of never asking for money or donations. But he brought all their needs to God in prayer. Now, it is estimated, through all the charitable work that grew from that, that through the rest of his lifetime, in today's money, £90 million passed through his hands for this orphanage and for other works. Thousands of children were cared for. And he just freely kept giving it away as the Lord supplied. And then I'm sure you know there's that most famous incident. Certainly not something, the kind of thing we should expect every day, but one of those unique moments where God acted and showed that there was even a morning when there was literally no food. But he got up the children, and as was their routine, they sat at the table, they gave thanks to God for what he would provide, and then there's a knock at the door. And the milkman, his cart, has broken down outside the door. And so it doesn't spoil, he brings in all the milk for them. And then there's another knock at the door. The baker has decided he's got too much, and so he brings bread in for them. In 1842, he wrote in his diary, typical entry, "A brother in the Lord came to me this morning, and after a few minutes of conversation, gave me £2,000 for furnishing the new orphan house. Now I am able to meet all of the expenses. In all probability, I will even have several hundred pounds more than I need. The Lord not only gives as much as is absolutely necessary for his work, but he gives abundantly. This blessing filled me with inexplicable delight. He had given me the full answer to my thousands of prayers." This is the other way that Christian giving is different. We trust God. We don't look to the resources we see with our eyes. So don't wait for God to give. Start giving. Start giving. And watch what God will do. The Lord said, "Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great in heaven, and you will be sons of the Most High." And then the third way. The Christian giving is transformed and is so different. Gracious giving is done for God's glory. From verse 10 onwards, Paul lists all the spiritual blessings that come from giving graciously. These are the fruits, the results. And the result above all is praise and glory to God. As these Corinthians give, it's going to result in churches around the world giving praise to God. Now, isn't this just wonderfully tally as we're thinking about Benjamin and Anna going back to the States? What a wonderful thought that there's going to be brothers and sisters over there who'll be praising God and thanking God for what he's been doing here. And so all of this concludes in verse 15 with Paul calling us to worship. That's really what he's saying though. He's saying, oh yes, let's praise the Lord for his indescribable gift. What's the gift he's referring to? The gift of Christ, the gift of these Corinthians, all of it. The gift of grace. Of grace. The grace given to us, which makes us give graciously, which results in praise to God. And he's saying, look, people are going to marvel at what God has done. How great God is. That he took these Corinthians. Remember, Corinth was this cesspool. These greedy, selfish, glory-seeking Corinthians. God's changed their hearts so that they're giving to these poor, starving people over in Jerusalem. How amazing is God's grace because of this change of heart. Praise God for such grace.
That's the aim, the goal. Changed hearts that result in pouring themselves out for others, which gives God the glory. Interestingly, Paul uses some special religious words here in the Greek. Words that actually give us the word liturgy. It means priestly, religious service. He's saying actually this giving is an act of holy worship. This is the goal. Why Christian giving is different. Because again, it touches heaven. It brings glory to God. It reveals how amazing he is that he can change hearts. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you. No, glorify your Father in heaven. Can you picture the throne room of God in heaven? On that last great day, when all God's children are brought to be with Christ, imagine here is a saint who faithfully scrimped and saved, and they gave to a missionary on the other side of the world, sacrificially, graciously, and never saw anything from it. They could have spent that money on themselves. They enter Christ's presence and they see a large group of saints worshipping God, saved from their sins and enjoying eternal life. And in the midst of them is that missionary. And they gather around and say, do you know, we're here because we heard about Jesus and our hearts were changed and you funded it. Or there'll be a saint over here who gave to fund and feed starving and hungry saints on the other side of the world when they went through disaster. And gathered around the throne of God, they'll meet and embrace. And they'll say, it was the love of Christ that you showed us. You fed us and you clothed us. And then there'll come that great voice from the throne. It was for me you did it. It was for me. That's the kind of picture that you should leave this whole section of giving with. That wonderful final point in the kingdom of heaven when all will be revealed. And every spiritual blessing will there last forever and result in praise and glory to God. So as we leave this section on giving, I hope you hear the big thing. The gospel is the most amazing, transforming grace of God, that it even changes our hearts. Even these selfish Corinthians, to give generously. And so Christian giving is different. It comes from this changed heart, because we know the amazing grace of God to us. May God's grace exceedingly abound to you. May you know God's grace in your heart and know the joy of giving. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, we humbly bow before you because we owe everything to your grace. You have been exceedingly, abundantly gracious to us in giving Christ to die for us and save us. And indeed, Lord, anything that we have in this life has come to us as your gift. And we would thank you for them all. We pray, Lord, change our hearts. May your grace change us deep within. May knowing your love teach us to be loving to others, to be gracious, to trust you, to act in faith, and to give and to give and give again. We confess, Lord, that we cannot do this in our own strength. When we try to do these things by ourselves, we become worn out. Oh, Lord, please renew us and lift us up by the grace of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.